It's HSK Today.
SA made by Patera with the right pad.
A weekly in-depth look at the Henderson Silver Knights.
Morelli left wing. Richard scores!
And the AHL.
2 seconds and one. The Silver Knights hang on.
With your hosts, Brian McCormick and Justin Russo.
Here we go on a Wednesday afternoon from TechCU Arena in San Jose. This is HSK Today. Brian McCormick here, Justin Russo in the Vegas studios there, you all the way over there across the radio threshold, and Jared Justice on the other side of the glass as we talk Silver Knights hockey and get set for the Silver Knights and the San Jose Barracuda this evening from TechCU Arena. Four more games remaining on the regular season schedule for the HSK, two road, two at home. And Justin, as we've talked about, for the Silver Knights, of course, playoffs not in the cards. And for the San Jose Barracuda, they're not in the cards either. But there is still opportunity over these final weeks of the season to accomplish something, whether it's players who are playing for jobs, trying to make an impression, whether it's players preparing themselves for being members of the taxi squad for the VGK playoff run, because that will absolutely happen. And in some circumstances, you have an opportunity for a young player to squeeze in at the end of the season and make their debut and get their first taste of pro hockey, and we will see that tonight for Matthew Cataford, and that probably is storyline number one.
Yeah, really excited to see Cataford tonight against San Jose, and to your point, a guy that's able to just kind of squeeze in the lineup here the last few games and show what he's got. And we've talked a lot about the guys that have been with the Silver Knights and their ability to kind of showcase their talents moving forward to next season. But this is a guy that is a highly touted prospect for the VGK, third rounder in last year's draft, already making his way up here to Henderson, and really excited to see what he has against San Jose tonight.
A tremendous season in the queue with the Halifax Mooseheads. He's played the last three seasons in Halifax, 40 goals and 90 points. 40 goals tied for third among all QMJHLers in goal scoring, 90 points is third overall in the league. So talking to Matthew this morning, he said, well, I didn't necessarily think I would be here just because he didn't think Halifax would be out of the playoffs as early as they were, but they got eliminated last week. That freed up his schedule for the spring, and he joins the team in San Jose. So we're going to hear in a moment from head coach Ryan Craig, and we might squeeze in from audio from Matthew this morning as well. After morning skate. In our next segment, we'll have general manager Tim Speltz join us. He'll give us a bit of a review of this year for the Henderson Silver Knights, because believe it or not, folks, how quickly it has come and gone. We only have two shows left on the calendar for the HSK this afternoon and then next Wednesday before next weekend's season finale. So we'll get a chance to hear from Tim Speltz what he liked about this season, what he would have liked to have been better, and how he thought certain individuals performed. We'll have that. Now, our final segment, we'll join Darren Elliott, who'll hop on the phone with us. Darren Elliott, of course, of VGK broadcast lore, but also has a tremendous impact and involvement and leadership role with youth hockey in Vegas, and he was one of the people involved with the USA Hockey national tournaments that were held all over the country, including in Vegas at City National Arena and at America First Center. Justin, you know that full well because we didn't have you on HSK TV last weekend because you were doing play-by-play for the U-16s and the U-18s. Darren Elliott's going to tell us how successful the weekend was for Vegas youth hockey and the impact of what it can do for hockey in the desert. But you had a front row seat, Justin, and some overtime excitement. How was it for you?
Oh, it was excellent. And I think you talk about the success, and not to spoil things, but I feel like it was a major success in terms of the event and just the people that were there to support all these kids and across the different age brackets. And myself, I called a couple of the semifinal games, one in the 16U, one in the 18U division. Had an overtime winner from the Long Island Goals over Little Caesars out of Michigan. So that was a really fun one. And then got to see the Yale Junior Bulldogs in their game advance to the championship, where they ended up losing to Shattuck St. Mary's, a team that got to the championship in overtime as well. So there was lots of overtime hockey on the day I was there on Saturday. It was a really fun event. And I think it's really impressive to see how elite and how great these kids are already at this age. I mean, they're already so skilled and they're already so great at a lot of the fundamentals as well, and just a lot of great hockey played at even at that age level.
So you called the national championship winning game for the Long Island Gulls. I am a Long Island Gull alumnus. I played for the Long Island Gulls in 2004, 2005. And I'll tell you, they won. I didn't get a phone call from anybody. Mm. I didn't get a newsletter. It's as though they have forgotten a mere 19 years later that I exist.
Don't forget your roots.
I'm not young anymore. I'm going to be 35 in a month or 2 months. So I'm not going to make the argument that, like, I'm not fooled. I know that I'm 35-ish. But I still don't feel old, and I shouldn't. I don't think anyone in their mid-30s should feel old. But when I'm now at that point where I can say a sentence like, oh, I played for the U-16 Long Island Gulls when no one on the current championship-winning team was alive.
Yes, now we're
not
talking.
Not a twinkle in their father's eye, and now they have championship glory in Vegas.
Yep.
Unbelievable. No one thought to call me.
You know, well, I'm sorry for that. You know, maybe we'll send over a note and see if we can get you a little care package there. Maybe get you involved on the Long Island Gulls Championship somehow. But it is funny to think, though, just looking at the year that is attached to the age of these kids, where it's 2007, 2008, and, you know, even for myself, I'm a bit younger, but I remember what I was doing in 2007. These kids weren't even born yet, so it's kind of funny to think.
Your time will come, Justin.
Yep,
time will come.
It comes for all of us, Brian.
But tremendous success for USA Hockey and a lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, Justin, we don't have our hands on it yet. That is something that maybe we can do for our last show next week. People have heard enough of me for an entire year. We've got to get the overtime win play-by-play call for the U18s from Justin Russo. We'll work that into the show next week.
We'll get that in for sure.
Well, turning our focus back to, and again, Darren Elliott, just what was the point of that whole segment, that segue?
Bring it back.
Darren Elliott will join us in the third segment to talk about youth hockey in Vegas. And, of course, the U14 Junior Golden Knights girls team, they are national champions, to discuss them as well. Turning back to tonight, Henderson Silver Knights taking on the San Jose Barracuda, who have struggled mightily as well. The Barracuda are last in the Western Conference, so no playoffs coming for them either. But a team that has no trouble scoring goals. They give up a lot, and that's been the problem for them. But right around the midway mark in the league in goal scoring. So certainly an opportunity for high-event hockey tonight. But earlier today, we caught up with head coach Ryan Craig and learned a lot about the expectations for Matthew Cataford as he joins this team for his late-year audition, and also some expectations for tonight as well. Here's what Ryan Craig had to say.
With head coach Ryan Craig, coach Matthew Cataford joins the team after a really good QMJHL season. Just your initial impressions of him and what the plan for him might be over these last few games.
Well, he's going to play tonight. He'll make his debut for us tonight, playing with Dzingel and Cracknell. So two veteran guys that can help him and coach him up a little bit on the bench, I think, is going to be good for me. You know, he joined our team on Monday night and was able to fly in here yesterday and get a practice with the team. We're going to try to put him in situations where he can succeed, probably just focus on his 5-on-5 game and get a taste of it.
He's an NHL draft pick, and he's had a really good junior career, but nonetheless probably a whirlwind situation to come into a pro locker room. Is that something you try to account for young guys, to put them in a situation to be comfortable?
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing. The hockey part is the game when it gets playing. Obviously, older guys, stronger, faster, those kind of things that happen when you get into the pro game, but we want him to come in and play his game. I think he's a straightforward 200-foot player. You know, he'll play his off-wing tonight as a right-handed shot on the left side. We'd like him to continue to attack, be strong on the walls, and just play his game.
It is a common time of year for players from juniors or college graduates to come and get a taste of pro hockey late in the season. Is that one of the intriguing parts of the job for you, to add a player like that at this time of year?
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously, we wish we were in a position where they were helping us gain home ice or solidify a playoff spot of that nature. But for Matthew, we didn't see him in rookie camp. He had a shoulder injury, so we didn't get a chance to see him. So this is really the organization's first time, I believe, to get him, you know, on the ice other than development camp and into a game situation. So I think not just myself, but our staff and the rest of the organization is excited to see him.
You mentioned he'll be playing with Ryan Dzingel. It's gone fast, but it's been a month now since Ryan Dzingel joined the team. What more have you seen from him now that the day-to-day activities are more his routine?
Well, I think he's settled into kind of the routine of our team. His back to his, you know, routine as a pro. You know, we're going to play him at center here a little bit down the stretch and see how that looks for us. But, you know, I hope Ryan feels that it's been a chance to reestablish himself as a pro hockey player, see where his body's at and the steps he needs to take.
to start the season, it felt like we saw San Jose more than anyone else. Now we haven't seen them since the end of December. What's the approach for this evening?
Well, it's been 40 games, so it's be a little bit of a renewing the rivalry. But I expect it's two teams that are looking to compete, finish out the year on a strong suit. They're a competitive team. They have been. Every game against us has been push back and look in your look them in the eyes and all that stuff that's important for our team to continue to do to establish our culture.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
And that was head coach Ryan Craig again speaking a bit on the addition of Matthew Cataford, who will make his AHL debut tonight. That is the expectation. Third-round pick, 77th overall last spring, or last summer, I should say. And again, Justin, for the Silver Knights, at this time of year, there's not anything to play for statistically and in the standings. That doesn't mean players aren't taking the game serious or working hard. They're playing for their careers. But there's nothing to be accomplished tonight in terms of what the points are worth. But what you do have for any team, and looking at San Jose's roster tonight, I haven't seen what their lineup looks like tonight, but every team, especially teams that are outside the playoff picture right now, have the benefit of using these games as a workshop, both for the young players that have been in the lineup all year long, but also players who are just out of junior, players who are just out of college. You have an opportunity to use this time productively to not just see what players are capable of who are on the way up, but also for those players, just to have them knock out a debut or two. Like, how much less pressure there is for Matthew Cataford to come into this setting and play his first pro hockey game. Ryan Craig wishes it was something that was gearing towards a playoff berth, but since it isn't, well, this is a pretty risk-free, carefree setting that Matthew Cataford can come in and acclimate himself.
And I think, as Ryan Craig mentioned, it didn't see him in rookie camp because of that injury, too. So this is really his first taste of AHL or pro hockey. So an opportunity here for him to get in for the final few games. I love putting him next to Adam Cracknell and Ryan DeZingle, a couple of veterans that should immediately provide some comfort for him on and off the ice. So, if things maybe don't go the way that he expects in the first couple of shifts, you have those two veteran guys there to calm him down a little bit. And, excited to see what he brings at 5-on-5. It sounded like Ryan Craig was hesitant to say he'd put him on the power play unit. So we'll see how that evolves. And, maybe as the game moves on and power play opportunities come along, we get to see some of that skill. But I think an awesome opportunity for him, of course, also coming off of some playoff hockey himself. So he's gearing up in the last few weeks to play some of the most important hockey of the season. He's still in that mindset, so he's ready to go personally, and really excited to see where he fits in this lineup.
And a reminder, Cataford signed an NHL contract with the Golden Knights as entry-level deal, I believe a three-year entry-level deal, on December 31st of this season, so this year. He is on an NHL contract, so what he essentially was reassigned by the Golden Knights from Halifax of the Quebec League to the Silver Knights. This is not a player out of college where you have to sign to an ATO or a PTO or something of that nature. He was reassigned. So very possibly, maybe even likely, he's 19 years old. Next year, he could be in Halifax again. But this is an opportunity to give him, hey, you're done with your season? You're off? Hey, we got a few games left. Why don't you come over and try it on for size? So it's a good opportunity for what very much is an audition for Matthew Cataford, just to see where he is. And as you mentioned, Justin was injured during rookie camp. So this will be his first time on the ice, really, with a lot of these teammates, even though that they have some contact and some awareness of each other. He was at development camp. This will be an opportunity for him to get acclimated with some of his future teammates as well. On the other end of the spectrum, Ryan Craig talked a little bit about Ryan DeZingle, which is again, it's kind of a similar concept. It's a player who came in, it's almost a month now, and we very much know his pedigree and what he's capable of at the pro level, but it was a player who had been working his way back from injury all season, so now we kind of have a sense of where he is now that a month later he has legs underneath him a little bit more.
Yeah, and a bit of a different situation, too, because Ryan DeZingle, he hadn't played hockey overall in about 5 months, so he had taken some time off to make sure he was back to 100%. Now came into this organization and he kind of hit the ground running. I mean, he was one of the best producers on the team for a little stretch there before, trying to manage his minutes a little bit and make sure that, he's still okay as he shakes off some of the bumps and bruises that he sustained early. But he's been really impressive. And I think for a guy that is, of course, looking to work his way back up and work his way back to 100%, can't ask for more from Ryan DeZingle from what he's brought from this team for the last month or so. And as you said, starting to really kind of get in and feel things a little better here and feel a little bit more entrenched into this Silver Knights team.
And DeZingle and Cataford will be shoulder-to-shoulder tonight at TechCU Arena as the Silver Knights and San Jose Barracuda square off for the first time since December 23rd. It was a couple of months there where it seemed like they only played each other. It's been a while, so we'll see how they get reacquainted this evening. We'll hop out. When we come back, we'll be joined by Silver Knights general manager Tim Speltz. That's straight ahead. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you on HSK Today on 12:30 of the game, the Silver Knights Radio Network. Brian McCormick is at TechCU Arena in San Jose. Justin Russo is in the Vegas studios. This is HSK Today, and we are joined by Silver Knights general manager, Mr. Tim Speltz. Tim, thanks for making some time for us this afternoon. It's great to have you on.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be here.
Well, Tim, we'll start with the new and the exciting for the Silver Knights tonight as they get ready to take on the Barracuda. Talking to head coach Ryan Craig this morning, it seems that all indications are that Matthew Cataford will make his AHL debut tonight. He joined the team yesterday after spending the last three seasons with the Halifax Mooseheads of the Quebec Junior League. Curious what your initial impressions are of Matthew and what the expectations are for him in this last home stretch of the season.
Well, really looking forward to seeing him. I mean, as you know, he was a player that was injured in the fall at rookie tournament, rookie camp, and we haven't had a chance to see him very much. And I think he had a really good year, successful year in the QMJHL. And we sure, you know, want to give him a little bit of action, see what, you know, I mean, he's, you know, again, not going to be a player that's going to be with the organization next year. He'll go back for his last year of major junior. But at the same time, it'll be good for him to get a feel for the next level. It'll be really good for us to get a feel for what he is as well.
I wonder, Tim, Ryan said earlier today, of course, you know, you would want to bring him into a situation. You wish that this was a game that could help towards a playoff berth. That just isn't the situation. But does that have a silver lining in it that you have a young kid, 19 years old, can come in, play in a pro game, and maybe you can have a little more room to roam with how he's utilized, or there isn't the stresses or the pressures of a game that would have had some higher stakes to it?
Yeah, you've said that very well. I mean, there's always a challenge to, you know, at this time of year, whether, you know, when you're, if you're in the dogfight for a playoff position, whether you can even, you know, give a young guy the opportunity. I think this affords us to do that, and it probably lessens the expectation of him and probably a little less pressure on him as well. But for us, you know, we'll deal with it that way. I mean, we'll, you know, try to let him get his feet wet without overwhelming him at the same time.
Hey, Tim, you know, we talked a lot about, even since the Silver Knights have been officially eliminated, you know, there's still a lot to play for these guys in terms of moving forward. And from an evaluation perspective, I just wonder, how do you look at this final stretch of games for some of these guys and their performances?
Well, Justin, I think the same, you know, there was times this year when we had lineups that, you know, weren't as conducive maybe to American Hockey League success as they could have been. And you try to evaluate that lineup for these, you know, young guys with, you know, what, where are they at? Have they taken steps? They're going to get more opportunity maybe than they might have normally had. How do they handle that? Are they ready for it? Are they ready for it the next time they get it? So you try to be really open with that. I mean, I think to our guys' credit, they played really hard down the stretch. You know, we've had some success, which is good to see, and we're always, you know, obviously playing for that. But at the same time, you know, we do want to make sure that we're evaluating. We do want to make sure that we're giving these young prospects opportunity. And there'll be a lot of that as we move forward here for the last four games.
We're with general manager Tim Speltz. Tim, we'll talk about a few individuals and how they've performed this season and what the expectations are for them going forward. You know, Caden Korzak spent a lot of time with the VGK this season. It felt like when he came back to Henderson, it was kind of roster math just when guys got healthy on the VGK side, but he's come down, been with the team for a good portion of the second half of the season. Do you feel like this year he's taken another dramatic step from last year? Because when he was in Vegas, he was looking like a very comfortable NHLer.
Yeah, I think he's taken great steps this year, Brian. You know, I think as, you know, I mean, he's a young guy who has great, you know, got good size, very good skating ability, defends, plays the game very well. You know, at both ends, can skate and has got skill. You know, so for me, he's been good at the NHL level. I think he's done more than enough there to prove that he's ready for the next step. But more importantly, when he's come back, he's been a real leader for us. He's played He's played all situations. He's played very well. He's been a mentor for his partner, and he's really done a good job in that regard for us of taking that next step, you know, being an accomplished American Hockey League player, which I think for his maturity, for his development, for his game, that's been very good. He's taken those necessary steps. So we've been very happy with Caden's progress.
You know, you talk about Caden, a guy that played at multiple different levels this season, and I want to focus on a guy that came up from the ECHL and Jet Jones, because I feel like as all of the call-ups went to the VGK and you had guys up from Savannah, as some guys got healthy, guys went down to back to Savannah, but Jet Jones has kind of remained here with the HSK as he's carved himself out a bottom six role. And just curious your thoughts on his play over the back half of this season.
Yeah, I think again, Jet's progression has been I think quickened by the fact that we've been shorthanded, and he's done a good job to make the most of that opportunity. He's got got some real definition to him. He plays the game well at this level. He's able to win faceoffs. He can kill penalties. He can play tough minutes. And for us, I think that's been really good. It maybe wasn't the original plan moving forward that we thought he'd be here quite as much as he has been. But at the same time, he's made the most of his opportunity, and it's been really good to see. And like I say, his definition, and you know exactly what he is, and he's able to compete and perform for that most nights.
We're at general manager Tim Speltz. On the older end of the spectrum, Tim, you know, one of the players that was brought into the organization last offseason was Mason Morelli, coming off a Calder Cup championship with Hershey, and he was just a player that you looked at his track record. He just seemed to get not only better every year, but improve his role every year, more fortify himself as a hockey player. He got his first NHL contract. He's done it even more so this year with his stints with the VGK. I have to imagine that a lot of what you hoped you were going to get from Mason Morelli is what you guys have gotten.
Yeah, there's no question. Our pro scouts did a really good job identifying Mason as looking at his ceiling and that there was more than we had seen so far. And I think, you know, for us to step out and offer him the NHL contract was how we got him. I think a real good job with our guys. And the thing that's been maybe the most impressive for me is their due diligence was very solid. Mason is a leader. He's a team guy. We've had him a little bit out of position even for us this year, putting him at center ice, which hasn't been perfect for him. I think naturally he's a lot more comfortable on the wing. But he's done whatever he can do for our team. And then to the point that you made, he's done a really good job when he stepped up for the Golden Knights as well. And, you know, helped them win some hockey games and keep their playoff goals intact. Because, you know, with the nine games he played, he performed admirably. And he's another player that when he's come back, his game has been better. It's been good to see. And we're really looking forward to having another year with Mason that we have next year.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask about, you talked about some of the veteran presence that Morelli brings, and of course you have a guy like Adam Cracknell that has that as well, or even a guy that's returning like Jake Bischoff, and, you know, we talked a lot of this year about the rookie class for this team, and a lot of those guys have kind of been in tandem with those veterans, be it Christopher Sedoff, Jacob Brabenitz, Jakob Demick, and I wonder from your perspective how important it was to kind of pair those two things together.
Well, it was really important. I mean, we didn't get to, you know, to have it the way we had hoped. I mean, you know, the players you mentioned, I mean, Jake Bischoff missed 6 weeks. Adam Cracknell missed 6 weeks. You know, Christopher Sedoff has missed some substantial time with an injury. He's just back, after, 8 weeks off due to injury. So we've had some setbacks, and guys have been thrown into situations, whether it's Jacob Brabenek or Jacob Demick. And they've really performed. And sometimes when we use the saying and the proverbial saying, drinking out of a fire hose, but they have done that. And it's maybe not the way we mapped it up at the beginning of the season, but very seldom does the season go exactly the way you map it out. And guys have done a good job with their opportunity. And I think our leaders have done a good job of showing the guys the way. And the guys have done a good job when the leaders have been out of picking that slack up. It wasn't totally successful, or we'll be talking, having a different conversation, and that moving into the playoffs, but it has been successful in the fact that those guys have taken steps. They've had maybe more opportunity than we expected. And, I think with the injuries, with the call-ups and everything else, there's been times when we've been on scramble, but the guys have still made the most of their opportunities, and we sure think that that's going to, you know, bode well moving forward, and that, you know, we're not going to see those results this year, but in the future we sure expect.
We're with Tim Speltz. Tim, the Golden Knights have not yet officially sewn up playoff positioning, but they're in favorable mathematical territory. They should be able to take care of business in that sense, to which I direct my question. Last year, of course, the Golden Knights going on a Stanley Cup run, there were players who were members of that taxi squad. Brendan Brisson has mentioned it a couple of times, how beneficial that experience was for him. He's had a very good year this year and started to make himself a more regular VGK impact presence. As you look a couple of weeks ahead, there will be players on this roster who will be part of a taxi squad core again, and wondering what you do to prepare those guys for that when the time comes, and what you need them to get out of that experience as part of their development.
Well, I think a couple of things. I mean, some of the players that, you know, they saw, you know, playoff games, they saw the intensity, they saw, you know, how the different level of the game, which I think really, really helped. It helped them when, you know, they're on the ice, and there's times when, you know, the VGK extras were down skating with us, or at least the taxi squad, and you see, you know, the difference there. I think it's a good step for the players. This year now, you know, they went through an extended time last year, obviously being here from the end of the season right through to June, I think, 13th was their last game at the Stanley Cup victory game in Game 5. And I think, you know, you look at it and you want these guys to be around it. And yet, you know, we have to also look and say, okay, they're going to be around it, but what's their best for their summer workouts, their summer, is their opportunity to get bigger and stronger. And a lot of our guys at this level need that. So we'll monitor every situation and every case individually. And we'll make those decisions when the time comes. But to your point, it's going to happen quick. It'll be upon us in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, the Golden Knights have some business to look after. But when that happens, those decisions will be made.
Well, Tim, last one for me. You know, we've talked a lot about a lot of the players on the team this season, but I wanted to ask about your head coach, because Ryan Craig in his first campaign as an AHL head coach, and just wanted to get your thoughts on your overarching view of how his first season went.
Well, no surprise there, Justin, for me. I mean, Ryan Craig is as advertised. I mean, you know, what we expected. He's been all of that and maybe even more. I think he had a very, very good handle on the American Hockey League and knowing what it was. He learned it as a player. He was involved at every level. As we said, he was, you know, he was a rookie in the league. He was, a seasoned veteran. Then he was a veteran moving to the end of his career in the league, and he knows exactly what it's like. So, you know, I think it was a great year for him. It was a great year for the staff in that regard. A lot of adversity that they were faced. You have to play the hand that's dealt you on, you know, a lot of nights. It wasn't, you know, the roster that we expected when we talked in the fall, but the guys did an admirable job of keeping everything together and even now down the stretch, the guy's playing hard. But, you know, I think Ryan learned a lot this year. I think he's going to be a better head coach moving forward. He's got good coaching experience. But, you know, the organization is very happy with Ryan and his first year as a head coach in the American League.
And, Tim, again, the unique circumstances of injuries and call-ups certainly impact the season without question. Looking towards next year and hoping for better standings results, part of that, of course, is going to be with some of the young players who will be back with the Silver Knights again, improving and taking the next step in their development. There isn't a blanket instruction for all of them as they head into their summer vacations. I'm sure it's very specific to each individual player, but are there some core tenets that are going to apply to a lot of guys that they look to improve on in the summer months to come back next year and be part of a winner?
Well, I think the expectation of young guys, you know, coming in, they think and they believe, and we do too, that they're ready for the next level. But until they see it and live it, they don't know it. And I think now they do. And the importance of being a pro every day and bringing your game every day, not just game days, but practice days and recovery days. I mean, everything that's so important to be a pro. Those guys, young, you know, they learn that, and now, you know, it's not somebody telling them or they think they know what it is. They know exactly what it is because they've lived it. I think that's very important, and that's one of those things, you know, for me, is there's no substitute for that experience. We expect all those young guys to be able to take a step next year. I mean, that's what we want, that's what we need, and that's going to be a big part of us being successful moving forward.
Silver Knights general manager Tim Speltz. Tim, we appreciate you carving out some time for us on a game day and accommodating us all season long. It's greatly appreciated, and good luck against the Barracuda tonight.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate being on. Really appreciate the time.
That is Silver Knights general manager Tim Speltz giving us a review of the 23-24 season. And again, as mentioned, with the prospects of potential VGK taxi squad duty in the future, perhaps for the Silver Knights in the next couple of weeks, certain individuals, the chapter is not yet done being written. We will step out. When we come back, we'll catch up with Darren Elliott and talk about the USA Hockey Nationals that were held at the at America First Center and City National Arena. What a cool experience it was, and what it did for hockey in the desert. Details to follow. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you on HSK Today. You're listening to Silver Knights Hockey on 1230 The Game, the Silver Knights Radio Network.
What is that which gives me joy?
Brian McCormick.
I throw Justin Russo on that list, too. This is HSK Today. Final segment. We heard from Tim Speltz, Silver Knights general manager, in our last segment. Now we're joined by Senior Vice President of Hockey Programming and Facility Operations and, of course, VGK analyst Darren Elliott. Darren, great to have you on with us this afternoon. After I hope you're decompressing this week, because last week was pretty darn busy for you and everyone on your staff, was it not?
It was. I was doing mostly the ceremonial glad-handing, and the guys were doing all the work.
Smart man. Well, for anyone who doesn't know what we're referencing, if you're just joining us now, of course, the USA Hockey Nationals for all youth groups were last week all over the country. That included the U16s and U18s in Vegas in the at City National Arena and America First Center. And a lot of teams, a lot of talent, Darren, a lot of scouts for colleges from all over the country. It was the entire late teenage hockey world descending on Las Vegas last week.
It was. It was, again, an honor to host Tier 1 for the first time ever in Nevada. And all kidding aside, the event was put on flawlessly at both America First Center and City National Arena. 18U Tier 1 boys, 16U Tier 1 boys. Great hockey coming to the marketplace. Like you said, lots of folks from the hockey world here descending upon Las Vegas, scouts and USA Hockey dignitaries, and lots of connections made, and lots of people I hadn't seen in a while coming through the buildings. And the guys did us proud, and it was just great hockey to watch.
Well, you know, I'm interested in, you know, the event itself, getting it to Las Vegas and then running it. A lot of logistics go into that, Darren, and just curious from your perspective, everything it took to get this here.
Well, one of the things that we've done here, we've put on big events, right? I mean, it's something that it's kind of my job to make sure that we, A, can get the events, then execute. We've had the All-Star Game. We've had the NHL Media Tour twice. They're coming back for a third year in a row. We had last year the Stanley Cup Final, both teams at City National Arena practicing, and all the NHL media all being hosted here, which is a rarity to do that at a practice facility, you know, in that environment, the Stanley Cup Final. So, you know, we've done, of course, rookie tournaments, and the like. So it's not a stretch, but in this particular case, you fill out an application a year in advance. They make the selections, and then from there, first 6 months is like, oh, okay, yeah, a little few emails, and the last 6 months is a barrage of emails and Zoom calls, and you know, you just have, like you said, the level of detail that is required to put it on to the extent that we did is really, again, a testament to Andrew Stewart at City National Arena running this facility, and Wally LaCroix and his staff running it at America First Center. And it's right down to, you know, how do you book? First of all, you want to be Vegas-y, right? So we made sure we had the drum line and chants and the vivas part of opening day. We had anthem singers for every game. And Justin, you know, you were in the mix. You were calling games. So you saw that the buildings were full, you know, 300 to 350 people on each side each game. So very busy from a security standpoint as well. So it's lots goes into it. It's kind of boring details, but it's what we do.
We're at Darren Elliott. I'll tell you, Darren, not to sign you guys up for the next one, but it went so well. I'm sure you guys would be interested in doing it again if there's interest from others. And I think something for fans that if they didn't get down to see this going forward to realize is, you know, we're talking about kids in this particular tournament. Maybe a different age group comes next time, but in this particular tournament, you know, there's a reason why the college scouts are there. It's not because they're too clever. 16, 17, 18, that's when you start seeing some of the budding talent that is going to play D1. And if they're at this tournament, they're that good, which is to say, and when you were mentioning some of the events that have come here, also the U.S.-Canada rivalry series came last
week.
Right. There's been not just a lot of great hockey in Vegas these last handful of years, in addition to what the VGK have done, but variety as well. And sometimes when these elite youth tournaments come, you're seeing future D1 stars. You're seeing future NHL draft picks way ahead of the curve. It's fun to get out and see these youth tournaments when it's that kind of caliber.
It is just for fun's sake, but also in a market like this that's exploding, it's a right sizing as well. Because, you know, it's like, okay, we're growing, we're doing well, our teams are more competitive. Oh yeah, these teams are out there all over the country.
Right.
So it's almost as if it's like, okay, that's something to shoot for. So I saw a lot of, you know, Vegas Junior Golden Knight families here, and that's, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do was bring that reality to the marketplace as well. And this is what we're trying to be, and it's going to take time.
You know, you talk about the caliber of a lot of the players, and just the sheer amount of places that they come from. You know, the couple of games that I had the fortune to call, teams from Arizona, Connecticut, Michigan, New York. It's just so fun to see everyone come together for such a big event like this. And, you know, you talk about some of the caliber of play, too. There were three overtime games in the semifinals. It was just fun hockey.
Yeah, and that, you know, when it's that competitive, that means that USA Hockey did the rankings properly for the tournament. Mm-hmm. Because you're right, those That Saturday, it's about as good as it gets in terms of great games. From the Pacific District, we would have liked to, I know we're not allowed to say it as VGK, but as Junior Golden Knights and part of the Pacific District, the LA Kings had a good team, but they could not quite prevail in the final. But, it was 19 different states represented with the 32 teams, so it was a really good overview of the top boys hockey players across the country.
We're at Darren Elliott, and of course, Darren, you're so involved with the youth programs top to bottom. We're going to take ourselves out of the Vegas regional, if you will, and move over to Sioux Falls, where the U14 girls competed and were named, not named, they won. They became national champions. We talk about all the value of to the Vegas hockey landscape of having these youth events here in Vegas, but also, you know, our young players going out into the world and having success. What does that young girls team accomplishment do for hockey in Vegas?
Well, it's exciting. And so, you know, with excitement, as we've seen with the Golden Knights, I mean, all this growth and excitement and interest, all is generated initially by the Vegas Golden Knights being as good as they have been since day one. But then the girls, they were, you know, the first ever girls team to even qualify for nationals from Nevada. And then to go out and win it all was quite a surprise and quite a pleasant surprise, and what a story. Head coach Gordy Mark played in the NHL, played a long time, played in the minors, played Las Vegas as well, ended his career. That's how he ended up back in his marketplace. And he wanted to get back into hockey. He'd been coaching high-level girls softball for 15 years because his daughters had an interest in that sport. But he had an understanding of the athletes and Just a great story, and I'm glad for Gordy that he's getting the credit. And it's a really good article in USA Hockey about him and the team. George McPhee and Gordy actually went to training camp together for New Jersey Devils 40 years ago. So those kinds of stories are really why what makes it all worthwhile in the end. And to see those girls celebrate that victory in overtime, a 1-0 shutout, overtime victory. Nothing more dramatic than that, and to see them celebrate gave me goosebumps.
Well, a tremendous accomplishment for the Junior Golden Knights organization, for those girls, and for you and your staff and everyone involved with City National Arena and America First there for putting on a tremendous event with the Nationals. Congratulations to you on that, and hope we get to do it again real soon. Darren, we can't have you on and not ask you about VGK. They have a little work to do to sew up a playoff spot officially. How do you feel about where they stand?
Well, their game, like I said, it's been one thing after another, right? I mean, now Petrangelo's out and has been for a few games, and so they just have not had any continuity. It looks like they're going to get into the postseason, but again, they've got a really difficult task tonight in Edmonton. It's an important game because it's a game in hand on the Kings. If they're able to get 2 points, they vault, probably an overstatement. But they get back into the third place in the Pacific Division. So between that position and the wild card position, they're the team chasing the St. Louis Blues, running out of games a little bit. So I think they've been looking forward and not behind them with their recent run of play. But now they've lost their last two, and so now they're trying to just stop that and get back to playing.
And, of course, the Golden Knights play Edmonton tonight. The Blackhawks play the Blues. We'll be watching both. Darren Elliott, again, congratulations on a tremendous event and everything that you do for youth hockey in Vegas, and we appreciate you coming on.
Brian, Justin, thank you.
Thanks, Darren.
That is Darren Elliott, Senior VP of Hockey Programming, Facility Operations, and, of course, VGK and HSK analyst. Again, Justin, you were part of that tournament. Just so much fun, and there's something – again, nothing tops winning a Stanley Cup, but there's something about watching a young kid have that kind of profound success. It just, I mean, those are core memories you're watching getting molded.
Oh, it was so fun to watch those kids play. And we talked about the caliber of play. I mean, you could tell the intensity and the effort was there, and those kids were putting it all on the line there, and just a really fun tournament to take in. And, it's funny, we had staggered starts on each rink, two rinks at City National Arena. So my game... my final game ended early, so I went over to the other game between the 18U Long Island Goals and Shattuck St. Mary's, and that arena was full. That game went to overtime. It felt like one of the most intense games you'll watch, and it was super fun to take part in, so a really fun event overall.
And those tournaments, those are conventions. When you get knocked out, your team loses, you don't go home. You stay at the rink all day. You watch everybody else. You watch the team that beat you go lose to someone else and say, it should have been us. But terrific event, and I hope we get to have it again soon. Justin, again, turning our attention to tonight, no statistical standings value between the Silver Knights and the San Jose Barracuda, but important to play to the end. These are two teams I haven't seen each other since the end of December. We should expect a high event evening.
Yeah, interesting to see how these two teams get along. Of course, you mentioned it's been about 4 months, but I think all eyes, rightfully so, going to be on Matthew Cataford tonight in between a couple of veterans, and we'll see how he fares in his first AHL game.
We had some Matthew Cataford audio we did not get to. Jam-packed afternoon, blame us. But I'm sure you will hear it if you tune into the pregame show tonight, which
Indeed.
Starts with Justin Russo at 6:30. Am I speaking for you, Justin? Can I guarantee that?
You can guarantee that. I'll guarantee it, too.
All right, you'll hear from Matthew Cataford tonight. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30. Puck drop at 7 p.m. Special thanks to General Manager Tim Speltz and to Darren Elliott for joining us. We'll see you tonight for Silver Knights and San Jose Barracuda. He's Justin Russo. I'm Brian McCormick. This is HSK Today. We'll see you tonight.